Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral's praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Woo! Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome and good afternoon to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm in Danger Studios here in Coral Springs, Florida, on a Monday evening, along with our co-host today, Ciro Dobrik.
Hello, Facebook. Hello, Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And, of course, Ethan Moore.
Good to be here, Dougie. How you doing on a Monday?
All right, don't be too radio-y.
Hey, happy Monday. Hope everyone's Monday's going great out there.
Hey, welcome to the morning zoo, everybody. Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. For those of you watching us for the first time on Facebook Live or hearing us for the first time on the podcast, which is on iTunes, of course, and on Podbean, this is a comedy podcast where we focus on the happenings around the world and make fun of them. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That simple.
It's comedy, folks. Don't take it too seriously, you know?
Period.
That's right. And, you know, you can't help. Every day is different. On Mondays, I got Ciro and Ethan here. On Tuesdays, Elgin David and Peter Leonard, who's more of a radio guy than a comedy guy, but
yeah.
But he tries. But he, you know, no, one thing I'll say about Peter
Very
Leonard.
Very distinct personality.
One thing I'll say about Peter Leonard, he's always going for it. You know what I mean? Like his comedy is like my golf game. Like, I'll shank a couple into the woods.
Right.
But then I'll hit a drive that's just magnificent.
Okay.
So you got to, like, hear, like, 3 or 4 of his jokes to get one that's, like, that's pretty funny.
Do you have to play golf to use the word magnificent?
I think magnificent can be used in sex. Right, sex boy? Right, sex hunk, right?
What?
Magnificent's a good sexual term.
Yeah. I've never like, finished with a lady and then been like, that was magnificent, darling.
Yeah.
But, yeah, why not?
Have
magnificent.
Ever had a woman ever say, that was magnificent?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't even said good. I haven't even heard good yet. So keep plugging away.
Yeah.
Literally.
Just hoping to last past 4 minutes. It's a new record. Anyway, yeah, if you can't tell by my voice, I'm still battling this flu. I don't know, whatever the hell it is. But, you know you're not feeling well when you spit and it bounces.
Ooh.
You know, I'm spitting Super Balls. That's how, the, you know. And I actually went on WebMD and like, okay, what's the symptoms of pneumonia? Because that's the big one. You're worried about getting walking pneumonia.
That's what you Google?
You know, it's funny. We weren't really worried about that until Hillary had walking pneumonia during the campaign. Now
yeah.
Everybody's scared of walking pneumonia.
Yeah, I'm going to turn into an ugly dyke.
I can tell that Dougie's lifestyle is a lot different from mine because when I get sick, I Google, like, what are the symptoms of AIDS?
Yeah.
He's like, it's pneumonia. I'm like, it's probably AIDS.
Using WebMD, you're going to get AIDS. It's AIDS
one,
or cancer.
That's one good thing about being a good husband. Yeah, if my penis is dripping, I'm going to really be surprised. Like, what
right.
the fuck is going on? Well, then, you know, that's the one thing. If you're faithful and your penis starts dripping.
Yeah, you can pin it. There's only one suspect.
Yeah, there's only one possibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you go through that moment where you're like, fuck, this is hard. Well, maybe it won't be that bad. I'll be single again. And then I look in the mirror and go, fuck, it's not going to be good. I got to go on a diet now. You know what I mean?
Plus your dick is dripping, so.
Yeah. You're not actually really.
It's like I'm single, but my dick is falling off.
Yeah, you're not really a catch. Make sure you hide the penicillin. You still dating the same girl? You got the same girl.
Absolutely.
When are you going to marry that woman?
Not thinking about that, but no. Having a really good
wow,
time.
Wow, way to pin him into a corner, Dougie.
No, it's not that kind of, I mean, it's a forever kind of thing, but it's not.
Does she watch the show?
Yes.
Or listen to it?
Yes.
Yeah, so she's cool with it, though. She's probably like, she doesn't want to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's too much stress to even think about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
How about you? You got a.
But it's also.
I got a girlfriend.
Yeah. Have we ever seen your girlfriend?
You know, I don't know.
Is she a real person or is she like.
I think you met her, actually. I think she was at one of the Tavolino shows. I think I introduced you to her. Yeah.
By the way,
she's a real person.
An announcement that we were hoping to start the Goldfinger Comedy Club on Thursday in November. But the renovations are not done, so we probably won't have to wait now to December. So I spent that day re-scrambling the calendar.
How do the renovations work at a strip club? Do they hand the strippers like a sledgehammer and say, get to work, honey? Knock down that drywall?
Yeah, just make sure you wear your stripper clothes while you're working.
Kick a hole in the drywall with your gigantic heel?
We're putting up new poles. we're going to be in the VIP room, which is separate, the main room, the gold room it's called. It's separate from the strip club. It's its own room. I mean, when you go in, you're going to enter the lobby of the strip club, and then you make a right, and then you'll be in the Goldfinger Comedy Club every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They finish the bathrooms. They're finishing working on the bar, and now they're finishing the floors. So, looking forward to that. But I spent all day, and I had to go in there and email everybody. You know, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And I reschedule.
Tracking everybody down.
You know, this booking thing, dude. You know what I mean? It's like. I don't know. You know.
I think it's great. I'm so glad they're doing that. But I don't understand it as a business decision. Like it's like you're selling like hot chicks with like showing their tits, and then they're like, let's get some ugly comedians in here. That'll be great.
I think he was talking about you, dude. He wasn't talking about me.
I didn't chime in.
Well, comedians are not known as being beautiful people, and strippers are. So
yeah, some people say like you can't
it's
be
really
attractive.
All the lights. I don't know if you've really seen strippers in the daytime.
That's a good point too. Yeah, it depends on the class of stripper. There's a series of levels.
There is a before and after when it comes to the lighting.
Like, they're all retired. There were eight of them, and they're all retired.
Right.
Yeah, that's like a scary thing. Like you meet a stripper, start dating a stripper, you're like, oh, she's so hot. And then when you go pick her up for the first time on a Thursday afternoon, go somewhere, you're like, where's your friend? Where's your roommate? I'm her. What's up, Adam Hayes?
That's the way you wear your makeup?
I dated a stripper for a little bit, but she wasn't a stripper when I dated her. She was a former stripper.
Okay.
And she used to tell me all the stories, though, you know?
Right.
She's telling me about all the guys, that, you know, she said, I was like, does it bother you when a guy comes in his pants? Because I figure that must happen all the time, right? That's like, I had friends, they'd be like, that's the whole point, right?
I'm sure it's a lot better than on her face.
Right. Well, that's true. But they'd always, she said, oh, no, we don't mind. It doesn't bother me, but it sucks because that means like no more money.
That's it.
Yeah. The guy's walking out right then.
Would you like another dance? No, I'm done.
Yeah.
In all the years I've gone to strip clubs, that only happened once. And it happened at Miami Gold in Miami. I remember when I heard about it happening. I've heard people had, but I remember it happened and I was like, wow. And then you're sitting there like a dope with your, you know,
really
creamed shorts.
Well, then you can go home. It's like you don't have to.
Yeah, what do you
get the
stick
fuck
around?
Out of that place? Yeah,
stick around for the 2-for-1.
It happened to me once. It was right after I got off heroin, and then I don't know if you know this, but when you get off of smack, you're like a hair trigger.
Right.
It's like the only good thing really about getting off. Other than that, you feel like shit.
Yeah.
Like you're sweating. You feel like you have the flu, but your dick is super hard.
Quitting heroin has one good.
In it, so I went to a strip club and she was giving me a lap dance and I blew my pants and I was like, this is almost worth being on heroin just to be able to.
I just saved finally, $60.
Yeah, fill that fantasy.
I always give guys advice, if you are going to date a stripper, just put a 2-week rule on it.
What do you mean?
In other words, no matter how good it's going,
uh-huh.
Leave them after 2 weeks. Never date a stripper past 2 weeks because it's.
Wait, really?
It reaches a pinnacle, it reaches a zenith. You know, you try to get everything done in those 2 weeks.
Is that even dating?
Yeah, it's, you know, you go pick them up at 2 a.m. and,
right.
You know, you go hang out and then, you know, and then you're, so that's the first night, the first date, you get there like, come pick me up out. And then you're standing out there like a schmuck in the parking lot. And then she comes walking out like, look, she actually came. And then you go to a club, you go hang out or something. And then
like, I'm with a stripper.
Yeah. Just, you know what I mean? I'm going to have wild sex. You know? And then you go out and then they loosen up after a couple of dates. Like, oh, this guy's for real. He really likes me. And then like you go do regular stuff with him.
Then all the crazy comes out.
Yeah. And then, you know, after a week or two and then it really goes bad when they start telling all the other strippers that you're dating. Then you go to the club, you're like, oh, you're dating so-and-so. I'm like, not really. But, you know, you start, you know, it's like shitting where you eat.
You're not supposed to do that.
Well, it's not like there's, I mean, it's South Florida. There's a billion strip clubs. You could just go to the next one, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Although they all kind of dance it. There's some intermixing, I think.
It is fun, though, when you kind of like, because here's the thing. Once you date one, you know, then the others are like, wow, this guy
dates strippers.
Yeah.
He's cool with it.
And then next thing you know, you kind of go through a run. You know, and then the house mom gets pissed at you, like, stop banging all my girls.
Right, right.
Any rate, so it's a 2-week rule if you're going to date a stripper.
Then you move on to the next stripper.
That's right.
Dougie's rules for dating strippers.
Right. I'm just, you know.
It's going to be an Amazon self-published book.
That's right. Veteran financial planner, former pro kickboxer, and comedian tells us how to date strippers. and always wrap it.
Next in Vanity Fair.
Yeah. I don't know. By the way, I do want to say this. I don't know if you Walking Dead fans out there. The season premiere opened up last night, and I have a lot of questions about it, which I don't want to be a spoiler of which. But here's the funny thing. When I did a gig this weekend, I was in Melbourne at the Iron Oak Post. And before that, I met with Rob Gargiulo, who's from Bub Army Radio. Mm. I got him a spot on the show. And we did some AM sports channel at the poker room over there, and so we hung out.
Cool.
There was
cool.
a guy there that looked just like Rick Grimes, the main guy, the main character, the sheriff, the main guy from Walking Dead.
Okay.
I posted a video on Facebook and some photos of him, and it was like the guy was sitting there on the show, like talking to the host of the radio show, and I go, God, that guy looks just like the guy from fucking Walking Dead. And then I'm like, it looks like, and then all these people were coming up, and hey, and they're taking photos with him. I'm like, it is him, I guess. So then I'm a dopey ass, so I'm like, hey, what's up, buddy? I'm a big fan. You know, and I go up to the guy and take, and I'm looking at him like, he's a little, but I took a photo of him, and then I'm like, I realize it's not him, because the real actor is English.
Oh, really?
Right. So.
That's funny. He didn't pull a Hugh Laurie on you?
What's up, Al Ernst?
Hugh Laurie's British.
No, so, speaks. You know, and he was a really cool dude. Really he's good. But this guy, he's like, this guy is a spinning image of him. You know what I mean? And it was so fucking funny. Because the whole time we're there doing the show, people were walking up to him. Oh, I'm a big fan. I'm like laughing. He's like, yeah, that's great.
You know, oh, so it like, just happened so often that he just accepted
yeah,
it. Yeah. I mean, just went with it.
Yeah.
He's like, here, give me $20. I'll sign an autograph for you.
No, that would be illegal. What's up, Nadeem Awad? Happy birthday, buddy,
Nadeem,
by the way.
Happy birthday,
Nadeem.
Big show tonight at N2 Wine Bar.
You guys going down there? You gonna be there?
I can't. I'm not feeling. I wanted to go. I'm just not feeling good.
I'm going to go out there and roast Nadeem.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. See, that's the thing, man. I want to feel better.
Yeah.
I got all this shit coming up. I don't know. But happy birthday, buddy. It's also Khalil's birthday, right?
Khalil Rashad.
2-for-1.
Right.
Happy birthday, man.
2-for-1 roast battle tonight.
Right?
I think.
Yeah. So, I thought that was funny, that here this guy say, you know, if you go to my Instagram with Dougie Dangerous, I shot a quick video of him and I, like,
okay,
he comes up to me, he says, Dougie Dangerous, you're the only one that can be kill Negan, get rid of Negan, are you in? I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
That's kind of
funny, so go check it out. Got to reach a couple hundred views on that. But listen, you guys watch the show?
I do not watch Walking Dead.
You don't watch it either?
I watched the first like 3 or 4 seasons, and then I kind of...
And you're done.
Flaked out, yeah.
Yeah, well...
I deal with enough zombies on a regular basis.
It's they just kind of... I was like, well, this is just more of the same. I don't know. I just feel like there's so much stuff to watch. I can't keep track of it all, you know?
Yeah.
I can't stick with everything.
Well, thank God for the DVR, because, you know... But I watch it. Like, Game of Thrones, that...
I got into that this past year. I watched the whole thing. And now
you got to wait till like April or something to the next season to start.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I'm into this new one, The Deuce. Have you seen that on HBO? It's about the early porn industry, kind of the boogie night stuff, but in New York.
Really?
And it's made by the guy who made The Wire. So it's like New York street culture. And instead of like in The Wire, they're selling drugs. In this, they're like pimps and hoes.
Right.
And then some of the hoes decide they don't like, you know, getting beat up and, you know, working for a small amount of money.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And so they get into porn.
Yeah.
And that's basically
the
setup.
Same writer?
Too? Yeah, it's the same producer and director as The Wire and some of the same writers. And I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes. Really cool. All the 70s music and stuff.
And now now the porn stars, their new escape is the webcam stuff.
A lot of porn stars turning into, like, cam girls and stuff.
Yeah. You know, the big money. Do you ever have sex with a woman on camera?
Yes.
Yeah.
She didn't know.
I was looking
through
a window.
Actually, we both didn't know. It was
Harvey Weinstein behind the window.
Boy, that guy's getting screwed.
Can't believe it's not as big as it should be.
Are you kidding? Everyone's talking about it.
Webcam stuff? No. Or Harvey Weinstein? The liberals aren't talking about it. If any more of these hoople heads on Facebook compare Trump to him, I'm like, look, first of all, listen, I don't know if it's becoming evident, but I read today that this thing about Russia and the collusion stuff is falling apart faster than a fucking Jenga game.
It's just pointing to the real culprits behind it.
Isn't it funny how the liberals wanted to bring this stuff up? Now all this is basically uncovering the uranium enrichment deals that the Clintons were involved in. And, good, one way or the other. But the big political controversy was the call Donald Trump made to the Gold Star widow, who obviously was sitting there with the loony cowgirl fucking congresswoman,
Randy
Frederica
Savage.
Wilson. When somebody says to me, this person knows what they got into, it's in the context of bravery. For anybody to think that the President of the United States called a widow of a Green Beret soldier and said, look, he knew what the fuck was going on, had that kind of attitude, that doesn't hold water. That story doesn't hold water at all.
It seems like fake outrage. Like, it seems like if you hated Trump, then guess what? Now you have another reason to hate Trump.
Exactly. Yep.
If you like Trump, you're probably like, I love that call. It meant a lot to me. It's like it almost matters more what the political affiliation of the parents was than anything else.
Exactly. And that's my point was, matter of fact, wasn't that dumb cunt there with her at the time? They put it on speakerphone, supposedly. And, it's like, let's by the way, I just watched a video of her. She was on Good Morning America with a Stephanopoulos guy. And I studied neurolinguistic programming, and while she was mentioning the words he spoke, she looked up to the right.
That's a liar.
Now, what it is, if you ever studied neurolinguistic programming, people who are visual will look up. Like, in other words, if you ask, what color tuxedo did you wear at your prom, if you went to the prom? Look, he's looking around. He's like looking around. Like,
it's an exaggerated take.
But if you basically recall, you look up to the left. You're trying to remember something, you look up to the left.
If you look
up to the right, it's more of creative. Like, you tell me what your dream house would look like. You're like, it's a different, it's a side of your brain.
Left, right, brain.
If you're auditory, you look to the left or right, more towards your ears.
Interesting.
And
if
somebody asked you something that maybe hurt you or maybe brought back bad feelings, you would look down to your heart. It's almost like, if you're talking with somebody, you bring up something you may not want to talk about. So it's basically the study of neurolinguistic program, which is a valid study. So when you watch the video of her, she's looking up, and it's distinctive. It's not like a little bit. It's, you can almost tell she's like looking back to think about what she, making up the shit.
Right. How would it make it sound worse?
Right.
How can I make
it? And
this?
You nailed it. She was not a Trump fan from the beginning. So,
yeah, so of course she's like, I'm more upset now.
So you are left. I mean, obviously he's a big Trump supporter. I'm a Republican, so you're a liberal. You're more of a liberal. You're on the left,
I'm like a libertarian, right. But I'm a little more liberal than I'm sure.
So it does kind of make sense to you that all these other people came out and said when President Trump called with that call, which is one of the hardest calls to make, they basically all said he was courteous. He was all this stuff. But this one woman, just this one fucking woman. So in other words. Everybody else, he said, they're great soldiers, but I'm going to fucking, that's what the media would want you to believe.
Right.
That he singled out this one person and was just being an asshole to her. That's what a lot of people would like you to believe.
And it seems like with, the mainstream media bringing out these stories, it's always a racial tone to it.
Right.
You'll never, I'm never going to say never, but it's very rare that you see a white Gold Star family come out and say anything bad about anything the president ever said about the call or letter that they see. But now in Trump's time, all the people that are upset about what he does, they usually show a black person's point of view. And I'm not saying that that's right, wrong, indifferent. I'm saying
it sounds
well,
to me
gee.
like the white soldiers aren't getting the dangerous missions.
Yeah,
there's not as many white Gold Star families.
Yeah. So all the white people are serving like Eastern Europe or like in France and shit.
Bottom line, these people are the cream of the crop for sure and deserve respect than
I said this the other day. I said,
them.
You know, I read when this came out, I read several eulogies that were given for either. Army guys with a lot of police officers, and in almost every eulogy, somebody made the comment of every morning these people woke up, they knew what they were going into. In other words, they made the decision to be a civil servant. That is the definition of bravery and courage. When every day you wake up, you're not guaranteed you're coming home. You know, a librarian can't say that, you know. Right. You know, a guy, some school teachers could probably say that nowadays, depending on what you do. But you know what I'm saying? So it was in the context. So from the minute I heard it, to me, it was much ado about nothing. And then that fucking hooplehead, that Frederica Wilson. And by the way, here's a funny thing. A bunch of people said, oh, like, why? Now all these people who don't know nothing about nothing are like, why did we have troops in Africa? Oh, my God. You know, it's like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Like, all of us, oh, yeah, Trump was the one who just put all those troops in Africa. What the fuck? Why do we have?
I'm not happy that we have troops in Africa or Asia or any of the places that we have troops.
It's like global balance. That's what happens when you're in the position as the only world superpower.
This is where my libertarian side comes out.
I don't want any. I wish the world was a perfect place and we didn't need that. It'd be nice if you just had security guards. Matter of fact, some asshat on Facebook says I said Frederica Wilson was actually petitioned Congress to have military in Africa. Barack, what's his name? The terrorist guy, Boko Haram. And she, in 2015, she was in Congress petitioning them to keep military there because of all the children and everything, you know, and rightfully so. That's why we have, and she was there. I shared the link on YouTube on this fucking Facebook post where this guy was saying she didn't want, you know, like, you dopey fuck. You know what the hell you're talking about before you open your mouth.
Well, I blame Trump that we have troops in Africa, but I also blame Obama, and I also blame Clinton, and I also I also blame George W. Bush. I blame every president for keeping us in all these ridiculous places.
I blame Michelle Obama for not getting the girls. She had that sign going for bring back our girls. And how many plane trips have they taken since they were out of office? Couldn't they have gone and picked up some girls?
Yeah, they didn't do shit.
I will say this, though. I mean,
there's an extra plane that says Trump on it. Go get the girls.
Like Sarah, you can talk about the liberal media, and you guys can say, oh, well, like, why are we talking about this? And it's like, well, the reason we're talking about this is because Trump, for some reason, decided to just bring it up, like, and say, like, hey, you know, Obama wasn't very good at calling people. I'm way better at it.
Yeah, that was stupid.
He started a week of talking about this. I'm like, why the fuck are we still talking about this?
So I don't see one-sided. You know, he's got
what's wrong with the guy?
He's insane. He's a bit of a buffoon. You know what I mean? But, you know, here, and I made this comment to somebody who's very liberal that said, you know what, when you put it that way, it makes sense. Sometimes in life, you need a boss, you need a new coach, you need a new person, a new company to run the company that's a real asshole that nobody likes, mm-hmm. just to get the ship back in order. In the last 8 years of shit that happened with the past administration, you need somebody like this to come in and fucking fix the, you know, you need an asshole to step in there. I'd rather have a person of action than a person of words.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was the difference between these two. One spoke eloquently and it sounded like a genius, but didn't do dick. The other one sounds like a dope and getting a lot of shit done. And to you fucking people are saying, well, he didn't pass any legislation. It's not all that matters. It's an undertone. It's all kinds of shit that's going on already. The general feeling in the country when it comes to business owners and stuff. That's why you're seeing the market up. Somebody posted a video of that clown Mark Cuban. That fucking dopey bastard.
He's running for president, isn't he?
Yeah, good luck with that. Because when they expose all the shit he's done, too, in his private life, he's never going to run. But he came out. They showed a video of him saying, the market's going to crash if Trump fucking... And it did. Obviously, everybody knows it did complete opposite.
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Wait, but Dougie, you just said that Trump... It seems like, I know Trump hasn't done anything, but it's just the way he makes us feel. That's kind of what you're saying.
No, the underlying feelings within the corporate world, number one, the feelings around the world.
But I feel like any Republican president, the business culture is going to be a little more like, okay, positive.
Anybody who came into place after fucking Obama was going to, because the corporate world didn't have any idea what was going on because it was all about regulation. It was all it was nothing about anything. And the people that say all the people, oh, look, well, during Obama's time, you know, the economy grew. Listen, it's almost like if somebody was locked up in a cage for 6 months and couldn't eat, you know, and they came out of that cage, they're going to gain weight. That doesn't mean they're going to be strong. And, you know what I mean? The economy was at a shit bottom in the Great Recession. So,
yeah.
But the growth was stagnant. We had 1% to 2% growth for 8 years because there was no growth. Yeah, we went from, we lost millions of jobs and we got some back, but it was just, it wasn't, you know, so it changed. And you know, and now you look at the United Nations and the, like there are, there's in the G20 that are stepping up and adding money.
The confidence they have in our country.
And they're bringing more money. So there's, you know, just because of the obstructionists in the left that aren't, you know, the things aren't being passed, that is not, well, that's not to say that something's happening.
Obstructionism is built into the system.
I know, but
it's part of the founding fathers' vision.
It's blind obstructionism.
Is it true, though, that...
That's what they were doing during Obama, too.
The deficit doubled.
Yeah, I agree to that. They didn't want it, but eventually...
That's the system. It's designed so that whoever's on one side, the Congress screws them so they can't do anything.
Where we get fucked. And by the way,
that's true.
I think if anything, if I'm gonna spew anything, I think there should be term limits on these Congress cocksuckers.
Absolutely.
Enough of this bullshit. These
that
people
was
don't do
first
shit.
Thing I like he
that.
Said. When he
that's,
came
you
in
know,
office.
Forget about it. I don't give a shit what side you're on.
It true that
I like to see a term limit on the president, one term. Term limit on senators, two terms.
No, I think a president should be reelected if they're doing a good job, like it is. But I think these Congress people need maybe a 5-6. That's it.
Yeah,
that's enough. Enough. Move on. Find another fucking place in life.
Did the deficit double during Obama's 8 years, though?
Yeah, the spending was unbelievable.
Oh, it was insane under Bush. It's been crazy under every president.
The war, you know, was a big problem. And then, listen.
Reagan, Bush, Clinton. Clinton was the only one where it went down slightly, just for a minute. And then just back with George W. Bush, it goes way back up again. Then Obama goes way up.
Yeah. This is horrible.
There's no fiscal discipline from anyone.
No. And the last thing I want to talk about in the opening part of the show, for those pot smokers out there, this is an important message to everybody. It can immediately be lights out. They say the DEA says deadly fentanyl is showing up in marijuana.
What?
No way. Yes.
Fentanyl?
Yeah.
In marijuana?
Is that why everybody seems run down?
Oh, my God.
That might be why I'm sick.
That is like, wow, what? That's extra bang for your buck, man. Fentanyl's
but for what?
Synthetic heroin.
Right.
That's the reason why people smoke pot, because they don't want to get fentanyl and heroin and
hey,
all
speak
the
for yourself,
stuff.
Man.
Yeah.
I like to combine them, okay?
It's like getting sprinkles on your ice cream. Right, or Reese's Pieces.
Actually, jeez. when I did smack, I didn't really want to smoke pot as much. You know, I was like, because you don't get off as much.
Right.
I had friends like back in the day when cocaine was there, and, you know, that was like, I was still the one that would smoke pot after everybody was like all whacked out on, you know, on
wired
up. I'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean what I'm doing? I'm trying, but people would take Xanax. I'm not a pill guy.
Yeah.
You know, guys would take Xanax after they would get high on coke. I'm like, what do you want to kill yourself? You know,
that's, I actually don't like coke because you'd go way up and then when you'd come down, you'd feel shitty.
Listen,
but the Xanax would kind of smooth it out.
Oh yeah.
At the end
but
of the
you,
night.
But if you take too much, your body is bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
And I, you know, listen, and it doesn't cocaine was the easiest drug I ever quit. The easiest drug ever quit because, you know, who likes, you know, you feel great for an hour and then you're depressed for 2 weeks.
Right? That's seriously, that's what it is.
It's the worst. So don't do cocaine, everybody.
Hey, don't
out
do
there.
Drugs, kids, all right?
Don't do
you know?
Drugs at
just
all.
Smoke, yeah. Just smoke pot, the one without fentanyl in it, if you can tell.
Grow
can
it
you,
yourself.
Could you recognize it? Could you look at it and go, hey, actually.
No, you'd have to inhale it.
I don't think so.
You'd have to inhale it.
Yeah.
What does fentanyl look like?
Fentanyl is a powder. It looks like heroin. It's just like a white powder.
Is that really what? Okay.
Yeah, except like one tiny bit of it would kill you.
Hey, do I got fentanyl? Or does somebody have dandruff that was creating my bag?
Jeez.
All drugs basically look like that, right? When they're pure, it's just like some white powder.
Yeah.
It's all
just,
the same.
Just residue.
Could be anything.
This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Ciro Dobrik.
Hey.
And Ethan Moore.
Yo.
And we're going to come back right after this for Straight for the Headlines.
Yeah.
Don't got some, snort Ajax.
That's right. We got some interesting stories for you. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Peter Leonard with the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. My goal in life is to piss this guy off. We'll see you every week on the show. Tune in. What?
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them.
Yeah.
There's plenty of shit happening, too, by the way. Just saying. British electrician is jailed for 3 months in Dubai prison for touching a man's hip at a bar.
Huh.
Things are tight in Dubai. You can't do, like...
Wow.
You're not allowed
like,
to
he just touched his hip. You touched my hip.
Now, was it actually like, was it a gay come-on thing? Like, was it the wide stance?
He touched
remember
it with
the
his
wide
balls.
Stance thing? Yeah.
Exactly. Man-spreading?
Yeah.
Says here, a British electrician has been sentenced for 3 months in prison in Dubai for touching a man's hip in a bar. Jamie Herron from Stirling, Scotland, was arrested in July over an incident in which he said he put his hand on a businessman, Ahmad Tabaza's hip, to avoid spilling a drink in a crowded bar.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
The 27-year-old electrician had been working in Afghanistan and was on a two-day stopover in the United Arab Emirates at the time.
Wow. He's like, hey, you can't handle yourself like you're still in Afghanistan, man. You know, it's like he's going from Afghanistan to Dubai and he gets in trouble in Dubai.
Yeah. He had no problem in Afghanistan.
Right?
He was smoking heroin and shit in a local
right.
Wendy's.
He was shashing.
His accuser dropped the complaint, but local prosecutors decided to proceed with the case anyway. After his arrest for public indecency, Mr. Herron lost his job and was told that he could face up to 3 years in jail. I just touched his fucking hip.
Wow. Well, there's ways to touch a hip, and there's ways to touch a hip.
Like,
I guess.
You know that hat. Like, you do that. Like, you know? You're walking through a crowd, right? You're like, pardon me. You know, you have to give yourself, like, you know, ever do that and somebody gives you a dirty look? Like,
yep.
What do you want me to do? Walk right through you, fucking dopey bastard?
I usually just touch their dick, you know?
Just give them a flick.
Right.
Bing! Campaign group detained in Dubai said he was sentenced to 3 months imprisonment at court on Sunday, but lawyers plan to appeal, which will probably take 4 months. He's not currently in custody, but did not appear in court. His lawyer represented him in sentencing, and they have 2 weeks to appeal the decision.
Wow.
Could you imagine?
Life is getting out of control.
Yeah.
What is it, California, if you call someone the wrong pronoun, you could actually be arrested for that?
No, you cannot be arrested for that. That is ridiculous right-wing bullshit, Vero. Come on.
Don't go crazy now.
You'd be arrested for telling someone a pronoun in California?
Now they actually, in some states, they have the driver's license now where you're not considered male or female. They give you that X, your X, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Like,
I believe that, yeah.
Isn't that fucked up? Like, I mean, it's one thing...
Ask for ID before you call him something. That's what
I mean, yeah, that's a problem with he, she. What do you call an ex? You know, you?
Zer.
Yeah.
Or something
that's
like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It could be mer or sure.
I think they have a whole series of pronouns for
man, it. Madman? Madam? Mandam? Madam? I mean, what the fuck? I love Ty Rivera's joke. He's like, I don't care what it is, but at least make it easy for us to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, like, you know, some of these fucking people, you're like, we're going to expect it.
Right.
Didn't you post something on Facebook where some guy raped a fucking kid because he was transgender in a girl's bathroom?
It was a fake headline as to where the kid was raped, but everybody decided to take the fact that that was not where the kid was raped. So this story sucks for that reason only, not because the kid was raped. Because I decided to say that, or I decided to post it. It said, public restroom, transsexual rapes, 10-year-old girl goes to court, right? Actual 10-year-old girl gets raped in private restroom at the transsexual's home. So where does it start? Like, the article said, public restroom, transsexual rape kid. Didn't happen. It was in a private home.
So he met did he meet the girl in the restroom? And
no, they came over. I guess it was like a friend of the family.
Like a dinner party?
Friend of the family type thing. So, you know, I'm wrong for posting that because it didn't happen in a public restroom.
Well,
but if the reporter didn't even know where it happened, like how much can you trust that story?
It was like a fake headline.
Oh, it was fake news.
Whatever you want to call
news.
It. The 10-year-old actually got raped in a private residence.
Okay.
By a transgender. The article I posted said that it happened in a public restroom.
Which was wrong.
Which was the wrong part of the story.
Okay.
And everyone argued that that's wrong because it's wrong place.
Where like, in other words, raped. They didn't care that a transgender raped.
But wait, how do you know that it happened at all if they don't even have, like, where it even happened is into such dispute?
Well, that it seems like somebody.
It's like you're making up the story.
It's almost like the media, which is trying to make a thing out of this Trump thing with the Gold Star family, to make it a racial issue. Now, it's almost like this, on the other side, the news media was just trying to bring light to this bullshit about transgender bathrooms and the danger of them. Like I said, I can give a shit less where you piss. Just if there's a fucking line, that's the only problem I have. If I'm in in line, there's a bunch of chicks that look like dudes. I got the real dick. I'm going first. I'm pulling my dick out. You know what I mean? I'm pulling proxy. I'm just saying, right? I mean, think about that. Ladies, I'm sure the ladies feel the same. If you're in line, let's say the ladies are in line at a club and there's these four dudes dressed like women. And then a girl, I think the girl has the right to go, fuck you, I'm going ahead of you. You can go around the corner and whip your dick out under your dress and go piss somewhere else.
Look, if you could go in either bathroom, why would you go to in the ladies anyway? Right. It's going to be a longer line.
You know, in Miami, that's what it is. It's universal bathrooms. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? I'd rather take a piss next to a woman than some. I'm at the airport, one of these, I'm traveling, and I thought this guy was shitting his pants. I'm sitting there taking a piss, and this guy's like farting the fucking storm up. I looked over and I'm like, dude, you fucking mind? You're going to shit on me in a minute.
And it was actually a lady.
That's true, too.
Yeah, it was a chick.
We've had universal bathrooms for 50 years now, right? 30 years, something like that. Never an issue. No one ever had to tell anybody anything. But now that, you know, somebody wants some kind of special privilege, we're talking about it, go to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's not good enough to be equal anymore. You got to be special.
The problem, you asked people, you know, with the new law or whatever, you wanted to know what people thought about it. Well, now you know.
Right.
Some people don't like it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Allowed to not like
it. Is there a new law, though? What? I thought they made a law in North Carolina, and then, like, it was a big problem for them. Like, they ended up causing...
Yeah, but they stuck to it, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they ended up losing all this business, and then the governor got kicked out of office or something.
Yeah, I think they still have the law. I don't know. Speaking of bad things, vacationing in the United States, be warned, some countries say. That's how bad it's getting here, that other countries are warning about visiting the United States. Though you can go to Dubai. It's fine.
Well,
go to Dubai.
I don't know if I want to go to Dubai, actually, after that story.
Natural disasters like Hurricanes Maria and Irma and the recent wildfires in California have led to a spate of warnings from countries that want to caution their citizens about the risk of traveling to the United States.
Wow. See, I don't think we're going to have to worry about this immigration thing. We don't need to build that wall Trump wants.
Just no keep one having wants
to
natural
come,
disasters.
No one wants to come anyway. We have to build a wall to keep us in.
Even the Mexicans are going, fuck that place. There's too much fire.
Right?
I don't want to be a hot tamale.
Where are you going? A fire.
While warnings for traveling to the United States aren't new, they have picked up significantly in the last few weeks following the events, especially with Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Boy, whatever happened with that? That talk about a news story that disappeared.
Yep. When I lived overseas, I definitely would hear from people, when I lived in Singapore, people would be like, oh my God, isn't it dangerous to live there? Like, aren't you worried about getting shot all the time?
People in Singapore say that.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I'm not. Because Singapore, you're not allowed to have a gun.
Right.
So there's no violent crime at all.
I'm thinking in the Philippines. That's what I was thinking in my head.
No violent crime at all.
Singapore has like no violent crime at all. It's like a police state. I mean, you can't get away with doing anything.
Yeah.
And so it's super safe. But like they look at us like, oh my God, you guys must all be crazy. You must be like walking around every second, every day, like worried they're going to get shot. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. That's not what it's like in America.
It's not Chicago.
Maybe a few neighborhoods here and there.
Yeah, it depends. If the lights are yellow, you guys know that, right? High crime districts are in yellow street lights.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I remember when I first came back from overseas, I lived over there a couple of years in Singapore, and it was like, I got so used, you could just take your wallet out, and like no one would, you know, I think drop my wallet on the floor, people come out and hand it to me, like it was no crime, so it's like you just feel really like open. And then I came back here, and I'm like at a gas station at 2 in the morning, and my girlfriend was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, put your money away. I just got out of practice with being careful.
You ever been robbed? Been held up, robbed, anything like that?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
I've been robbed at gunpoint.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a gun to my head, but I was not robbed at the time. I was in a situation where there's a bad situation.
Actually, I had a gun tapped against my head, but they didn't actually get anything off of me. They robbed my friend who was standing next to me.
Yeah, I was at a gas station one time. Some guy came, did that rule, like, hey, you got any money? And I said, no, dude, I don't have time for this shit, you know? And then the guy's like, come on, man. And I said, yeah, hold on a second. And I reached into my fucking bag and grabbed out my fucking Glock.
I go, really?
Yeah, I just pulled it out. I just fucking pulled it out. I said, I'm sorry, what were you asking me again? Said, all right, man, all right. Get the fuck. It's fucking 2 in the morning. You're going to come up to me in a gas station and ask me for money?
It's weird when they
You know what I mean?
That.
Yeah, you don't fucking do that. It's crazy.
I mean, I did almost get killed by a bum once who asked me for money and I didn't want to give it to him.
Yeah.
And then he turned out to be mentally challenged.
Go figure, a homeless guy mentally challenged?
Super mentally challenged to where, you know, he was threatening me with like mean mugging, like my joke. He was mean mugging me the whole time, walking back and forth, mumbling under his breath. So I was kind of like, all right, maybe I'll be a jerk. I'm like, you do realize I have a gasoline thing and a lighter. Please, just walk away, dude. Yeah. Turned out he pulled a knife on me. There were like 10 guys jumped out of the bushes. I'm like, what the hell?
Dude, it's
is
funny.
Happening?
It's funny when that, like, you know, if you're gonna ask for money, if you say no, fine. There's people that get mad at you, like, come on, man. And you're like, dude. This is not up for fucking debate.
Well, you're asking for money, right? You're not telling, so.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. What are you
did you ask me a question or you're demanding it?
Yeah.
Let me know before I shoot you.
Demand money.
Speaking of robbery, a robbery suspect left his wallet behind at the scene of the crime.
Whoops.
How did you know it was me? Why? Well, you left your wallet.
Really? You take your wallet with you and you go rob stuff?
Classic. Classic. Robber mistake.
In Fairlawn, New Jersey, police in New Jersey have arrested a robbery suspect who they say left his wallet behind at the scene of the crime. Officials responded to an alarm at Mavis Discount Tire in Fairlawn early Thursday and found a broken window in the back of the building. Who the fuck steals that? Who breaks into a tire shop? I'm going to get away with these $200 tires. I can carry two of them.
Got four white walls.
You got those cops sitting on the side of the road waiting for a speeder, and like tires just fly by. What's going on?
You see a fucking old piece of shit car, brand new tires. There he goes.
He breaks in, he jacks up his car and changes the tires. Like, what the?
They told me it would cost $15,000. I'll do it myself.
Police say they learned a cash register containing $300 was missing. While investigating, they found a wallet belonging to 41-year-old Patterson man, a former store employee.
Wow.
A few hours after the robbery, two officers responded to a report of a suspicious vehicle and arrested the suspect and a 36-year-old driver. Police say the two had returned to the scene to try and find his lost wallet.
Inside jobs.
We got away with the money. We got it. Fuck, what's the matter? I forgot my wallet.
They returned to the scene of the crime, too. Classic mistake. Well, don't leave your wallet and don't return to the scene of the crime.
What movie? Oh, it was in Sideways. Remember? You ever watched the Sideways movie with...
That's the wine movie.
Right, Paul Giamatti and the other guy who was in Wings, TV show. And he's banging at the waitress. And the husband comes home and then they got to go back because he left his wallet with the engagement ring in
it.
And he fucking connects.
And then he runs naked, and then they have to go back for the wallet.
I thought that was Craig Henny, our local radio comic, who that looked like him, some big beastie dude.
No,
let's go back get my wallet.
What was his name in Wings? It was so funny.
Carl or Ed or something. He was a mechanic, right?
Yeah.
Got to go back and get my wallet.
Ned, maybe? No.
Something like that. Newborn dad sold heroin in hospital maternity ward.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, guys.
You know, while I'm
was
here...
Was it a boy or a girl?
I mean, listen.
It was a boy.
In Greensboro,
heroin.
Greensburg, Pennsylvania, a Pennsylvania man has been jailed on charges he sold heroin in the hospital maternity ward room where people were visiting his newborn daughter. Instead of handing out cigars, just hand out a fucking spoon and a bungee cord.
Exactly. Like Fred McMurray pacing back and forth. You pull out your spoon.
25-year-old Cody Hulse was arraigned on Friday on charges including heroin delivery and endangering the welfare of children. Authorities say Hulse got busted after Greensburg police stopped a vehicle Thursday and found heroin and paraphernalia. The occupants told police they just bought the drugs from Hulse at the Excella Health Westmoreland Hospital.
Wow, snitching right away there.
Boy, fucking no secrets safe with these fucking
people.
They
didn't even shine a light on their head. They're like, yeah, and it was this guy.
Yeah.
I just bought it from this asshole. He just had a kid.
He's a new father.
He just named his daughter Fentanyl. Police say they went to the maternity room and confronted Hulse, who acknowledged selling the drugs and who had heroin in his pocket.
Did you sell heroin? Yeah, it was me. Everyone is so bad at their job.
Yeah. What's the matter with these people?
The only one not giving in is Trump. He's just, nope, I'm going to lie my way out of this. There's no way to change my word.
Police say Hulse's girlfriend, the baby's mother, told them she had no idea.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she had no idea.
I just don't understand why he was licking his lips every 30 seconds. Like LL Cool J. Ever watch LL Cool J? Yeah, he's always licking his fucking lips, that guy, man.
It's funny that she's the one having the kid and he's getting the gets the heroin.
Yeah.
You know, like she probably wanted some heroin for that delivery.
I know. Honey, you got to wait.
No epidural. No epidural for you, honey. We got to have a natural birth. Hang on, I'll be right back. I got to go shoot up. This is really stressing me out.
It's fucking
crazy. It's a smack in my veins.
Just, you know what I mean? That's just the Now let me ask you guys a question. How many on your every? How many people do you think you run into every, like as a percentage, how many people do you think are drug addicts? Like, and let's just say, let's count alcohol. Like, okay. I don't mean like somebody has a beer here. I mean somebody who just like drinks like pretty heavily, pothead, you know, somebody who takes illegal prescriptions. Like how many, on your daily event, how many people do you think are actually addicts?
Well, I'm in the entertainment industry and also I'm in AA, so I'm going to say it's about 110%. I literally I go to an AA meeting, then I go to a comedy show, then I'm doing sound for some other live event, and everyone's drug addict. Don't you get it?
It's not like you're donating time to the Big Brothers.
My day job, I'm a bartender.
He's a bartender.
So I'm going to guess that you guys have a lot of that. If this was Card Sharks, I'm like, I believe it's higher, Ralph.
Yeah.
I almost gauge
that. 100%.
I almost gauge that when
it's higher. I think it's higher.
I almost gauge that when I'm out in public, just by looking at certain people, like the way they're at. You know what I mean? It's almost like you can almost sense it.
I think that a general population, the numbers I've heard are something like between 5 and 10% are actual like drug.
So one out of every five.
One out of every 15 people.
One out of 15 people.
Yeah, because something like that.
You said 10%.
I said between 5 and 10%.
Yeah.
Right. Two out of every three think they're hiding it well.
Yeah. It's a lot of functional, right.
Walk back into a room with a big white spot under their nose like,
I wouldn't be surprised if it was 1 out of 10 people. I don't know. That seems about right.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to drink. A lot of people like to do drugs. But as far as people that actually have addiction bad enough, they'll need treatment eventually or need to get into AA or something.
It dictates their day.
That's, 7, 8, 10%, something like that, I think.
Here's a story. Honolulu store owners say thieves are targeting cans of Spam.
Hawaiians love Spam, you know? I've said it before and I'll say it again, Dougie.
We've got Spam. Spam with a side order of Spam.
Spam. Now, eggs,
I was wondering if this was because... You know, because I think World War III nuclear war is going to break out, so you're just loading up the Spam.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
It's just going to be Spam and cockroaches left. That's right.
So they're not robbers, they're preppers.
That's right. Don't call me a robber, I'm just prepping. Cans of Spam have become a common item that's being stolen from Honolulu stores and then sold on the streets for quick cash, according to authorities. Wow, there's a market for Spam? Yeah. Why would you buy it on the street when you go to a fucking store and buy it?
Probably
you want to save 8 cents.
10 cents cheaper.
Listen, I got this shit get cost.
And they probably don't even tax it, so it's like a straight number, like it's $2 instead of like $2.88.
Well, in Honolulu, everything's so expensive. It's Ra Long, who owns a convenience store in the city, said shoplifters have typically targeted alcohol in the past, but recently more cans of Spam have gone missing. Because if they steal a can of Spam, you're not gonna leave the register. Go chase a guy who stole a fucking can of Spam.
I heard there's a whole underground thing where from like convenience stores and places like that where people will steal like laundry detergent, probably stuff like Spam, and then they actually sell it back to the stores.
They bring it back.
So they'll be like, they'll buy it, you know, because then they pay like a fraction of what they would pay the wholesaler or whatever. So it's like there's a whole like thing, people stealing from stores, like steal from Walmart, take it to the 7-Eleven and sell it. Yeah.
Isn't spam the reason the guys and my cousin Vinny got caught at the Sack of Suds?
Did they steal like some?
I think it was spam.
Was it?
He had a can of spam in his jacket.
Kim Carvalho, a spokesman for the Institute of Human Services, said people are stealing spam because it's easy to sell. It's quick cash or quick drug money. I guess if you're high, you want some spam. Hawaiians eat a million cans of spam a year.
Hawaiians love spam. I know, I've heard that before.
The nation's highest per capita consumption of the processed meat, which is cobbled together from a mixture of pork shoulder, ham, sugar, salt, and shit. I haven't eaten fucking spam. I couldn't even remember a day I've eaten spam. It's like those Vienna wieners. I remember sometimes when I was in college, you get that thing of Vienna wieners, and you throw them in a little pan, you know, you heat them up. You throw some cheese in there and shit, make some sort of meal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, spam?
I'm always gung-ho until I see that little film that forms around.
It's like the same thing that's around when I get the dog food out. Mm-hmm. They got that gelatinous, like, shit on the edge.
It's like a terrine.
A what?
A terrine.
A terrine.
That's like that.
That's the word of the day.
Yeah, yeah. It's that jelly stuff. But in fancy French restaurants, they have that gelatinous thing, too.
Yeah.
But not also on dog food. So it's weird. It's like... It's like really high class and really low class, you know?
They both look like pate.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I've been hungry and I smell the dog food. It actually smells good.
Mm.
Now I think of those poor people that have to eat dog food and cat food. By the way, it's been determined that people aren't putting enough money away for retirement. They were talking about how with the tax laws, they're going to try to reduce the 401k contribution limits. Trump said, fuck that. You got to have it up there.
Because they're not putting it away.
And you know what? In my business, my line of work as a financial advisor, get rid of it. That means they got to bring more money to me. So whatever. I win-win. Just saying.
Right place, right time.
I like this story. French parents French parents reported to name police for calling their baby jihad. There is a family in France. Now, France is known for, they actually police, like, they take consideration of what French-born citizens are named.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I didn't know they'd have to worry about that. Obviously, that doesn't happen in America. Chandelira.
No. Chandelira and...
you know, some of the names. French parents reported to name police for calling their baby jihad. A French couple from the Southwest have been reported to authorities for calling their baby jihad.
I can't believe someone really did my joke.
Do you have a joke about that?
I go, listen, if I ever have kids, I think I'm going to be a really bad father. Like, I'll feed it and clothe it and shit. You know what I mean? But the names. Like, one of my jokes on my penis is a radical Islamic terrorist. I go, what if I have twins? What am I going to name them? Bam Bam and Boom Boom?
There you go.
The couple who came from the Toulouse suburbs of Ligavine tried to name their son Jihad when he was born in August, but the local town hall immediately alerted the public prosecutor to their controversial choice of name.
So now they named him Lawrence.
Exactly. And they changed it from Jihad to Fucknut.
There was a controversy about a kid, and I think it was Missouri, they wanted to name their kid Messiah.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let him do it.
What? You can name your kid whatever you want. Really? Yeah.
Name kid Jesus.
This is America, okay? This ain't France.
Yeah.
It was Missouri or something.
Given the choice of a name and the fact France has been on heightened alert after a series of terrorist attacks by homegrown jihadists, the prosecutor may well decide to refer the case to family court.
How confusing would it be at dinner time when they're trying to call their kid for dinner? Jihad!
The French Civil Code states that any first name may be given as long as it doesn't go against the child's interest. In the past, the name police have banned a series of names that have fallen foul of those rules, including Nutella and Phrase.
What?
I was going to name my kid Reese's Pieces.
Wow, they're passing laws to say what you can and can't name your kid.
Yo, Snickers, get over here.
That's weird.
According to experts, in Arabic, the name means effort, struggle, or self-denial rather than holy war.
That is true. Jihad has different meanings, sure. But come on, like, what do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we think we know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just call him ISIS. I actually met somebody in my daily business, her name is Isis.
Yeah, that's like an Egyptian goddess or something, right?
Right.
Of war.
And they, you know, they took it. It's really unfair.
Right. You feel bad.
It's like Hitler took the swastika. You know, that used to be a symbol of peace. You know, now.
Right.
Now it means Nazi.
I was when I was working at Off the Hook Comedy Club back when I was at Marco, it was actually Rich Ross. So I was just there at the condo with him. And Rich is Jewish. So we're sitting there watching TV, and I look down at the carpet. There's a swastika in the carpet, designed wow. in the carpet. I go, Rich, there's a fucking swastika in the carpet. Rich is like, this fucking guy, I'm a fucking Jew. He puts his car, freaking out. And it's an old Indian
sign or
something.
Yeah,
yeah, it's sure. for peace and love, actually, right? Peace and love.
I don't know. Some kind of a Hindu meaning.
But it's
meaning.
Not boxed.
It's like
or
balance or something or it means. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, let's see here. Man, Val's. Okay, here's a story we'll finish with. Since we're talking about criminals.
Dumb criminals.
Yeah. There was a story. This actually happened in Coconut Creek. I remember it was years ago. A guy robbed a gas station, but he had left his application for a job there earlier the day.
Jeez.
So the guy says, hey, you look. Weren't you here earlier looking for
wow.
a job? Here's a story. Man vows he's penniless in court, but deputies find $4,000 in cash in his pocket.
Talking about.
Hey, is that $4,000 in cash? You're glad with your you have your sentence. Columbus, Ohio, an Ohio defendant who vowed he was penniless and couldn't pay a fine now faces a big one after deputies escorting him from court found he had over $4,000 in his clothes. Well, he said he had no pennies. He had plenty of bills, but he had no pennies.
What?
I was down on the line. I have no pennies. I don't have no fucking pennies.
I don't have a cent to my name.
I got plenty of Jacksons.
Yeah.
The Columbus District reports that 36-year-old Lawrence Knox swore he was indigent during an October 5th hearing after pleading guilty to drug charge in Franklin County Court. Deputies take him taking him to processed for his six-year prison sentence, then found he had $4,060 on him.
I know a lot of guys who are cheap, you know, who don't want to pick up a check at right. a restaurant, but I don't know any who raise cheapness to the level of criminality.
Yeah,
you know,
like, yeah, the guys that go to the bathroom when the bill comes, those kind of dudes.
Yeah, but this is different. It's like, no, you're gonna go to jail. And it's like, no, I still don't want to pick up the check. I have the money, but I mean,
yeah,
come on,
I could bail myself out, but fuck it. When the judge learned that he gave Knox the maximum fine of $20,000 plus court costs, about half the discovered cash was ordered to go to Knox's attorney, who smiled and said, "I'll take it." Yeah, I mean, yeah, that happens. You know, I got friends like that. That would, you know, you go out and like we used to always go out and, you know, the big party nights. We'd go out like. If we're all hanging out, whoever's like the bill, you know, the bar, I'll get around, you know. Whoever's there, we'd get the rounds. And I guess a couple of these cheap fucks learned that. And of course, what they would do is, you know, they would stand back from the bar. You know, it's like, yeah. And then after a while, my buddy Rick was like, why does that fucking cheap fucker ever pay a bill?
Yeah. It gets noticed probably like after two times.
Yeah, it takes a couple times to notice somebody's being a cheap bastard.
Yeah, you work in a bar, right? You see that stuff
all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the people that fight over the bill and neither one of them want to pay it.
Yeah.
Like, no, you.
Okay, I'll pay it.
And then leave it there and walk away like, no,
one of you.
Paying
yeah.
Somebody's paying this.
Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Ciro Dober for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Dougie.
Ethan Moore.
Thanks, Dougie.
By the way, guys, Wise Guys Comedy Show this week. I'll be your host along with our headliner, Clayton Fletcher.
Uh-oh.
Out of New York City. Tony yeah. Black, a very funny comic from up north in Florida. By the way, I'm also going to be at Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce, Clayton, this week on Saturday. Great show, so come out to that. For more dates, go to DougieAlmedia.com. Follow our show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and our fan page on Facebook. And you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Ciro?
You can find me at Ciro Comic on Instagram and Twitter, and then YouTube, Ciro's Comedy Circus. And every Monday night at the 19th hole, we start at 10 o'clock doing some comedy.
There you go, Ethan.
I got a bunch of shows coming up. Lake Worth, Fort Lauderdale, a bunch of stuff. Follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Ethan Is Not Funny.
There you go. Thanks for listening, guys. Tomorrow, Elgin David, Peter Leonard will be in the studio. And we'll be here right at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. There being their light hit the ground.